Welcome to Reformation Gospel. Discover the healing truth, and all your efforts to be accepted by God will finally be brought to rest.
So in the previous episodes of Just Gospel Talk, when I explained some of these concepts, in order to make it fairly, well, what's the word? Straightforward to comprehend, to get your head around ideas and concepts, principles. I tend to first present a very simplistic sort of idea, and then from there on, I will continue to build and elaborate more. Now, obviously, the verse in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 34. The one and only commandment, the Lord Jesus gave us this commandment, that you should love one another as I have loved you, so shall you love one another. Paraphrasing that, is that you shall love one another after the model which I demonstrated, the selflessness, the sacrifice of giving, based on unconditional love and acceptance. But also judgment in righteousness, in truth. And the two cannot be separated. As I've said before, truth and love are one. They are one in harmony. Judgment is based on the finished work of Jesus Christ. So for any preacher to say now that God's going to come on the clouds with great wrath upon the United States or the United Kingdom or Europe, or because of all the evil that's been going on in our world, listen, if God was going to do that, he would have done it a long time ago, because all the atrocious acts committed against humanity over the last 2,000 years, it's just been going on, and it's just gotten worse, yes, I would say, and then other times it's been, I suppose, there have always been very serious waves of violence and wars and all kinds of evil going on. So I can't really say it's got worse. We just got more technology to cause greater harm, and that's really what I meant. Now, with regards to this commandment, thou should love one another, value a person, value people, value life. When you love someone, you value them. When you may not necessarily like somebody because of the way they behave, and they may be a bit of a nuisance at work, in the office, or whatever the case may be, but you will still value them as a living being, irrespective of even their lifestyles or the bad decisions they've made, or even harm they have caused. When people cause harm to other people, and there are people who do that, doesn't mean that God doesn't love them, and doesn't also mean that God endorses their evil and violent behavior towards others. In fact, God is grieved over that. The Spirit of God will be grieved over that. The Spirit of God will do what he can to minister to that person, to encourage them to turn away from such wicked behavior. End of the day, nobody's born evil. And so if you look at it that way, we can look at people and their lives as having great value, only in the situation of having no other option. And I'm talking, these are more the extreme kind of situations, being caught in a circumstance where there's no other way out, and one has to, let's say, fight to survive, to defend themselves from some serious violent attack by some assailant, I've never been, thank God, I've never been in a situation where I was cornered and I've had to fight for my life and defend myself. But I'm sure other people have. And, you know, sometimes the outcome is that somebody else is going to lose their life. And it's horrible if that has to happen. So when we look at this one commandment, if all we have to uphold is love one another, as I have loved you, so shall you love one another. To be fair, if you really think about that, it can be quite complex. But it is a simple foundation, and it is from there that everything else is then considered and perhaps rationalized in a way that we can see and get wisdom how to implement it in certain situations. Now, there are views where, for example, I've seen a list recently where somebody's put a whole paper together listing the 1,050 New Testament commandments. And I mean, seriously, you go through that and you look at some of the verses that were selected also or identified as being a commandment. They're not a commandment, many of those are not commandments as they were as according to the Sinaitic Covenant with its 613 regulations and instructions. There are, for example, in these alleged New Testament commandments, the 1,050, which would actually be more than 613 from the Old Covenant, the Mosaic Covenant. So there you go. There are in those 1,050 listed 74 B's, what you should be, your behaviors and so on, your self-disciplines, your character traits, what you should strive to be like. And then there are the 30 be nots and the 14 bewares. And although they are all those instructions are very valid, but we have to understand that they are, many of those are, I'll give you an example, Philippians chapter 3, verse 2, beware of evil workers. Well, is that a commandment? I would say that is not a commandment. It is a instruction towards wisdom. And is basically common sense in the within the context and the time and the age those people were living in, those first disciples. If you read context, and there was persecution going on, there were Judaizers who claimed to be Christians or followers of Christ, but then also wanted all Christians, especially Gentile Christians, to turn to the law of Moses and also be circumcised. And that was the context there. They were the evil workers. Then the next one in that same verse, actually, beware of the concision. So they were also called the circumcision, actually, this group. And then there's so many of these verses that are being quoted and alleged and or elevated to the point of being commandments. What you have to understand is that these first century believers were interpreting the one and only commandment that Jesus gave us within the context of their lifestyle in their current situation. And so for that, Paul wrote many things in his letters to the churches to provide some kind of practical wisdom. And in that, he didn't say, well, look, this is how you interpret the commandment of love. He didn't necessarily say that directly. But it was fairly well understood that that is what was going on. And so, you know, many of the instructions that Paul gave, for example, when it comes to the marriage between a husband and wife, when it comes to raising children, when it comes to particular disciplines within a local church, when it came to appointing leadership, such as the bishops and the elders, all those types of instructions were they were a way in which the commandment of love was in fact practically put to work. And this, many of those instructions Paul gave, are still very much valid for us today. End of the day, it needs to fit within the one and only commandment that Jesus gave us. And again, it is, thou shalt love one another. I have loved you, so shall you love one another. Now, it's interesting because somebody brought this up, this verse from 1 John chapter 3. Now, you might be aware, of course, that the Gospel of John was written by the Apostle John, but so were the letters of John, and he also wrote the book of Revelation. Now, the letters of John, the first one in chapter 3, verse 23, John says the following, and this is his commandment. Well, let's back up in verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And in verse 23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandments. So now here you could argue, wait a minute, clearly the Apostle John, appointed and sent by the Lord Jesus himself, tells us that these are his, the Lord Jesus, his commandments. And there's an S at the end of that word commandment, implying that there are more than one. So he says, because we keep his commandments. Or, again, verse 23, and this, so he then specifies, I've just told you about the commandments, and these are the commandments. What are they? That we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandments. So here we might then say, I've just identified two commandments. So Pat, Mr. Gospel Man, there is not just one, because according to this verse, there are two. I would agree with you if we look at the English here and read it, because that's how it reads and you can't change it, because that is clearly what the King James Version says. But I have a habit of going into the Greek. When I see things that I'm not quite sure of, I will go into an interlinear Bible and I will look at the words. The Greek words, same thing with the Old Testament, I'll go into the Hebrew. And what I discover is the following. So if I read it again, verse 23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Now that in its own right would amount to a commandment. However, the word should, and listen to this, the word should is not in the original Greek manuscript. And what it is really saying is that, this is the following, and this is how I can interpret it when I look at the chronology of the and the syntax of the Greek words in the interlinear Bible, then this is what the verse would say in English if I were to translate it, that those who believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, yeah, love one another as he gave us commandment. Now, whoa, wait a minute, I have to repeat that. And by the way, verse 22, when he says, because we keep his commandments, more than one, not singular. Well, again, in the Greek, the multiplicity of commandments is not alluded to. It is in fact just singular commandment. So if I read it like this, and whatsoever we ask of whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep because we keep his commandment and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that those who believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ shall love one another as he gave us commandment. Now that clarifies a whole lot and confirms much of what we've already said. And as you would read through the whole book of 1 John, because honestly that book is not an easy read. John has a funny way of writing. Look at his writing in light of this truth I've just shared with you. That book, 1 John, really, really begins to explain itself and falls into place. Some of these questions you might have about that letter that he wrote really begin to answer themselves. So I want to encourage you to look at those two verses, 1 John chapter 3, verse 22 and verse 23. Go into an interlinear Bible, have a look, check it out yourself. Again, we have one commandment for this new covenant in Christ, which the Lord Jesus Christ himself established with himself and the Father, with the Holy Spirit of grace and truth, being the eternal witness. And we are benefiting from this amazing new covenant. And what Christ is saying to us, the commandment that we have, is that we love one another as he loved us. And that is an ever-present tense continuum, because he still loves us and continues to love us. And his love lives inside of us and works and operates in and through us if we yield to him and walk by faith in this amazing love that only he can love others in this way. So yes, to wrap it up, verse 23 in 1 John chapter 3, and this is his commandment, that those who believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ shall love one another as he gave his commandment. And that is also a very logical way of directing this instruction, because can you expect people who do not believe in the Lord Jesus, who have no inkling, no idea of the enormous demonstration of love God has given us in his Son Jesus Christ towards us, the love that he has towards us, but people have no idea of this, can we expect them to pursue or follow the keeping of this commandment? Well, there are many good people out there who do not, or say that they do not believe, but they are very kind, they're very lovely people, they're very compassionate, and sometimes even much kinder than some Christians I've met along the way. And I believe that they are that way because in their hearts, God's love works. It's the love of God that is moved upon them throughout their lives and has established them in a lifestyle, in a way of being, where they're yielding to love and they have value for life, value for other people, and they're just good people. But imagine if they learned about the finished work of Jesus Christ and God's unconditional love for them and the value that he places on them, and how that would even enhance even more. But especially for those who claim to be Christians or followers of the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are told, we should understand that this is our mandate, this is our commandment. And I will be the first to say I failed many times, and I wanted to kick myself looking back at some of my behavior and the way I've treated people sometimes. But I tell you what, I'm learning to trust the Lord Jesus, that by his faith working in me, you know, not necessarily my own faith, But because I have at least faith in his faith, I know that where I may have failed, I know that the Lord Jesus will never fail. And because of that, him working in me, he still loves me in such a powerful, beautiful, wonderful way. Every day makes me aware of this. And because of that, and I believe on him, I believe on and believe that his faith works in me, I can trust that I can fulfill this commandment to love others as he loved us. And as, in fact, it becomes a thing where he's loving through me. Yeah, it's not I that lives. Or it is not I that loves, but it is him who loves in me and through me. So yeah, it's amazing. And I'm just, he's doing it and I'm in it for the ride. All right. Bless you. I hope you've learned and we're encouraged in this series. Just Gospel Talk.
For more information, go to ReformationGospel.com.